concourse to the end. We thank God for his mercy and grace and blessings of his day. As we begin, let's open the word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day that you blessed us to see, for your grace, your love, and your mercy. And thank you for Christ, who made it possible for us to be here and pray as we come together as your people, that we with the expressed desire to serve you, the true, the living God. Father, we ask that you be in our midst, and as we study your word, that you help us not only understand it, but use it in our day-to-day lives to better glorify you. We pray your forgiveness for the sins that you have both knowingly and unknowingly. We thank you, Father, for the avenue of repentance through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us in all things never to take for granted the sacrifice you made, and that you would go as well to offer forgiveness to those who trespass against us as well. Bless the church today. All that we say and do will glorify you and edify the church. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
This morning, as we begin, Matthew chapter 12, the king's power is the subject. Last week, you remember, we were talking about Jesus had recounted to the Pharisees, or the Jews themselves, their history about how he used Jonah, the Queen of Sheba, as an example of those who knew the truth, or the word, the truth was taken to them, and they repented. And I used a statement, I made a statement to you that I need to correct. As I went back and thought about it, we talked about repentance. I think I used the expression there, godly repentance, worldly repentance, but that's not true. If we'll turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I realize now that what I've done is wrong. I need to turn around and head in the right direction. Yeah, repentance takes place from the neck up. Yeah, so it is a decision to change direction. And so we talked. Jesus used Jonah as an example, for he was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish in verse 40, and he says someone wiser than him is right in your midst. Someone greater than Solomon is here. Queen of Sheba will judge the Gentiles, who will judge the Jews. And the Gentiles will judge the Jews. She was not a Jew. Yeah? And she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The main lesson behind the main lesson behind this history lesson is this: the citizens of Nineveh bore witness against the rulers of Israel, for they repented at Jonah's prayer. The queen of Sheba will also witness against them. She traveled a long distance to hear Solomon's wisdom, yet the Jewish leaders rejected the wisdom of Christ, who was in their midst. What's the point for us? What's the point for us? Why did Jesus say all of this, and what can we take from it today? The greater the opportunity, the greater the judgment. What did he say it means? The greater the opportunity, the greater the judgment. What does that mean?
To whom much is given, much is required.
Much is required. Yeah. So the more responsibility you have, guess what? The stricter the judgment. Yeah. They didn't have a Bible. The people of Nineveh did not. They didn't have Bibles in those days. The printing press hadn't been invented. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't have an idea or concept of heaven. They didn't know who about judgment per se. But here was the preacher named Jonah, came to them, God sent him, and they repented. They had less information, and they did the right thing. What's our problem today? We have more information, and what's the problem? And we still don't want it. We don't want it. Yeah? We got Bibles in 15 different translations, a Bible on the shelf, a Bible over here, a Bible there, church on every corner, crosses everywhere, everybody's praising God, but not everybody's obeying God. So the greater the opportunity, you walk into the church of your choice today, nobody's going to stop you here in the UK. The greater the judgment. And so, we have a greater responsibility. And so Jesus, can someone read Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45? He revealed their hearts. He revealed their hearts.
Matthew 12 from verse 43. Mm-hmm. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Mm-hmm. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Mm-hmm. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with the wicked generation.
When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And he says, then he goes and takes with him, guess what? Seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And the answer dwelt there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. What do these verses mean? What do these verses mean? Why would Jesus say this? Anybody got any thoughts? What's the truth? Any thoughts on why Jesus will say that? He revealed their hearts. He talked about an unclean spirit. We must connect these verses to Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 through 29, which we've already read. Where Jesus says, then one was brought to him, verse 24. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons, but except by Beelzebub, the real ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. and 9 says, and how can can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? And can someone read Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 31?
When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gethsemane, then let him soothe the most possessed man, come out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herds of swine.
Thank you. So what do you notice about these verses? There was a man. And what was wrong with this man? He had an evil spirit. Did the spirit overtake this man? He was dwelt within. Yeah. Did the spirit know who Jesus was?
Yes.
They understand. They knew who Jesus was. Did the spirit have power?
Yes.
What did the spirit ask Jesus? What did they ask Jesus?
Now he cast them into the swine.
He said, listen, they said in verse 28, what have we to do with you, Jesus? You Son of God, have you come here to what? Torment us, what, where? Before the time, what time? Before judgment. So they understood who Jesus was. They understood Jesus had authority, and they also understood that they would be judged. Huh? Say, listen, you come to earn it. Does Satan have power? How much power does Satan have? As much power as you do. Yeah, and I'm going to prove that through scripture. Yeah, and so they asked Jesus permission. If we can dwell here, what we want to change residence and what? Send us into those pigs, into the swine. And interesting. And so, let's go back to our verse. He revealed their hearts. Matthew chapter 12. Yes.
Why did he choose to go into the swine?
We're gonna answer the scripture. That's a good question, sister. Let's go back to the verse, Matthew 12, 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, the man over there in Matthew chapter 8 had an unclean spirit, a demon in him. He goes out of a man. What does he do? He goes to dry places. What's he trying to do? Seeking. Watch that word now. Seeking what? Rest. And finds none. He says, wait a minute. Verse 44. I will return to my house. What's the house? A person. It's a person. I'm going to listen. I've been evicted. I can't find nowhere to rest. I'm looking, seeking. I can't find. You know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to that house. And what happened? From which I came, and when he comes, he finds it what? Empty, swept, and put in order. You know, spring clean, what got the house looking good? Huh? Everything is looking good, smelling good. Well, guess what it's going to do? Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him what?
Seven
other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man will be worse than the first. He says, so shall it be with this wicked generation. I'm here connecting the dots. So, and remember, Jesus said, how can a man go into a strong man's house and overtake a person that's got to bond the strong man? Who is the strong man? The devil, Satan. Who can bond the strong man? Can you do it?
Yes, sir.
Can you bind the devil by yourself?
No, because you can't see the devil. How can you bind him? You can't see it because we human
beings are limited. I have fought the devil.
We get free.
I have fought the devil and I lost. Huh? Lord is me again. Lord, I pray and I ask you to help me to overcome this sin, and I'm back in trouble again. Who put me in trouble? Who put me in trouble?
Myself.
Yes, because you've been looking for trouble. Yeah. And then you said, I got this. All but you can't fight the devil by yourself. Huh? So, heard Jesus helps you to get rid of that devil. Everything's looking good. You're cleaning the house, but what the problem is, you didn't put anything back in that house. Huh? Unoccupied residence is room for the devil. Huh? This is the way that this generation, guess what? This generation in 2022 is more evil than ever before. Because we know more and we do less. We've got more and we want more, we're not satisfied. Huh? Satan's house is the body of the person who's possessed by an unclean. Listen, let me tell you about some demons. Liquor store, huh? Wines and spirits. Why do you think he called it wines and spirits? Well, you have a spirit, all right. What spirit do you get when you start drinking? Huh?
Yeah,
okay, that's good. You start saying stuff, doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm confused here because.
Okay. Let me help you out.
Yes. He says, when the spirit gone.
He's gone.
And then he comes back and saw that
it's
the
all
room
clean.
Is empty.
It's empty.
Clean.
Yes.
The something which is empty,
huh?
Which is clean.
Yes.
In order, means something good.
Yeah. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Listen, in every house, it needs an occupant. Mm-hmm. Huh? Who is in your house? Either the devil is in there, or Jesus is in there.
Which means, if the spirit goes out,
you better put something good in there. Huh? What the psalm says, unless the Lord guards the house, you've got all the security along and everything, but there ain't no Jesus in there. That devil's going to say, oh, she thinks she's slick. She's got that alarm system. You see all these people, these Yale on that house and that one over there. You think that's keeping you safe? Huh? So, look at Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, look like you're interested. Luke 11. Verses 24 to 25. But this is the same account. 1 Peter 5:8 says, but you should be able to quote that. The Bible says, be sober. Be what?
Vigilant.
What that mean? Vigilant. What does vigilant mean?
Watchful.
Watchful. Be on guard. What does sober mean? Sober. I like that. Humble. It don't just mean not drunk. Because sometimes we can be drunk on power, drunk on popularity, drunk on revenge. What's that? All that's to do with your mind. Huh? in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 talks about pulling on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation is what? To resist the what?
Fiery
darts. That's your mind.
Be sober, be vigilant. Why? What does it say? Because you're what? Adversary, the devil. What's the devil doing?
Going to destroy.
What's the
seeking?
What does Matthew chapter 12 say that spirit does when it's leave, when it's, that house is empty? He's walking around seeking. Seeking whom he may what? You gotta set a guard on your mind. See, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Let me help you out. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your
mind.
What does transformation mean? What does transform mean?
Renovate.
When you renovate a house, what do you do? What are you doing? You're taking out old stuff and you're replacing it with something better. It's renovation is not demolition. So here I'm going to say, listen, Margaret buys this beautiful house and she says, these radiators aren't working. These radiators aren't working. So she goes down, she gets a contract, and they say, Miss Martin, I'm going to give you some new super duper radiators. So Martin goes down and she tears up all these radiators in the summertime. And she don't put nothing back there. Come wintertime, it's cold outside. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a problem. So she's going to take out the old stuff. And guess what she got to do? Replace it. So here we are as non-Christians, Christians. Here we got all this junk in our mind. Junk in our mind. And I thought I could cuss out who I want. I thought I could fix them. I thought I could fix those people. And you read your Bible. And the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. So guess what you got to do? You got to get rid of the old thinking and replace it with some new thinking. But if you take off the old thinking and don't put nothing back, you're gonna be worse off. You ever met a bitter Christian? You ever met a bitter Christian?
Here also, Jesus is giving an illustration because he said when unclean spirit, it's not talking about
literal spirit.
But it's talking about, like, example, we Christians, before you become a Christian, we possess a lot of things. But through Jesus Christ, we have been clean.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, we go back. You try to, for instance, if I become a Christian, I'm a liar,
yes,
or I'm a thief,
yeah,
all this. When I become clean,
yeah,
and I didn't pay attention, this spirit will come back again,
yes,
to me. Although my inside has been clean,
yes,
but this spirit will come back again if I give this chance. He's talking about the Pharisees.
Yes.
The Pharisees and scribes. The Pharisees are the people who start, their intention,
yes,
was very good.
Very good.
Very, very good from the beginning.
Yes.
But because of what the people are praising them, because of arrogance and all these things,
yes,
they stand against
Jesus.
They possess a lot of spirit with them.
Yes.
Not physical spirit Jesus is talking about here. But Jesus is talking about the spirit you possess,
yes,
after you have become a Christian.
Yes.
If you didn't pay attention, all the spirit you possess before you become a Christian will come back.
Yes.
And the same thing is also, yes, a lesson to Pharisees and the scribes. They are the people who set us defenders of God's word. But later, they stand against Jesus Christ and fight against the truth. Because of what? The spirit of arrogance and the spirit of envy.
Now, in the scriptures, you see quite often in the Apostle Paul will say, pull off the old man, pull on the new man, pull off this, pull on that. What's that? He's saying to get rid of this and replace it with something better.
Yeah. Yeah, James also said, therefore remove all filthiness. Yeah, and glad, because the more you, if you remove something from inside you, you have to replace it. Yeah. If you don't replace it, another thing will come.
This is it. And so the last condition is far worse than the beginning. Someone read 2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 22. 2 Peter chapter 2.
Explain to you. It says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning.
Okay.
For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and having knowledge to return from the holy commandments delivered to them.
Verse 22.
It says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul having washed to wallowing in the mire.
In the mire. Yeah, for it would have been better for them. Verse 21, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the world of the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Yeah, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better, and especially for us who are Christians, it would have been better, Peter says, for them, had they not known, it would have been better for them if they had not known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivers them what it has happened to them according to a true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Yeah. So now that you've been educated, you have a responsibility. It would have been better had you never knew than for you to know the knowledge of the truth and to turn your backs on Jesus and go back into the world. That's what they say. Yeah, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And through the Spirit. And so, the challenge. It is not enough to clean house. We must also invite in the right tenant. Yeah, you remember Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Huh? You ever seen that painting, that famous painting? And here's a door. Jesus is on one side of the door, and the man's on the other side of the door. But the side that Jesus is on doesn't have a door, doesn't have a handle. Only the side that the man is standing on. Why? Because you have to invite him. He's not going to force himself in your home. He's not going to force himself in. You've got to invite the Lord into your house every single day. Lord, you take control. Now, it's okay to, one thing to stand up here and or get on your knees and ask God to help you, but you've got to help yourself too. Yeah? And so the Pharisees were proud of their clean houses. You know, they were saying the right things, praying the right prayers, doing all the externals. But the house, the hearts were empty. You remember that, that's the rule that I think. That song, is thy heart right with God, washed in the cleansing blood? Which heart is he talking about? Not here. Yeah? So you can be here physically, but your heart is not here. Yes? Any questions or comments? Yes, Sister.
But
inspector, does this not make us to be judging people?
That's
because
a good
if, like, I know my brother is a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking for a certain fruit in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a way I'm expecting him to be patient or have love and so on like that. And I didn't say it. Does it not make me to be judging him? Maybe when I'm talking, then I'm not saying he doesn't even love, he doesn't have patience.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. So we all Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians that we are members of one another. The body, the church is the body, and each of us are body parts. Yeah? And so collectively, we serve Christ. Now, as we look, so we are commanded to judge. Jesus said, judge not that you be judged. Yeah? It's not that we are not to judge, it's our motive for judging.
Yeah.
What's the motive for me judging my brother?
Yeah.
Is my judgment to condemn, or rather to say, listen, Brother Luke, can I talk to you? You know, he might have been, all of us have failed days. Yeah. Sometimes we may be sinning, just like when I prayed, sometimes we sin, we don't even realize we're sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I love you, because what do we say the type of love we're to have? Unconditional love. Agape love. So I'm going to say, Brother Luke, can I talk to you? Would it be okay for me to give you a call tomorrow and I need to have a discussion with you? Now, this I'm concerned because yesterday maybe we were talking X, Y, Z. Now, I'm not sure what was going on there. And he might say, oh, I didn't realize. He might apologize. What are you doing? I'm doing it out of his best interest because his soul says it. And I would expect for him to do that towards you. But sometimes what we do, just like Pharisees, they're trying to catch people up, and he's supposed to be a Christian. You see? Because sometimes we don't see ourselves. Yeah? We don't see ourselves. You know, we are not our own mirror. So we may think, just like me, you may say, well, Brother Smith, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But if you don't tell me, yes, you've already judged me. You see? So we have a responsibility. And especially if it's ungodly behavior. I'm concerned. Listen, what's going on? You know? That's what we, so we do have a responsibility to judge one another, yes.
Now, Daddy, I don't class that example as judgment, because that's not judgment.
Okay.
Because that is you being concerned, mm-hmm. and willing to edify or encourage your brother. Because if you say judge, when you judge somebody, you've already made a conclusion. But if I notice something about a brother, my duty as a Christian is to go to that brother and say, brother, there's something I noticed about you last week. That is showing concern and trying to help my brother.
That's
but that's not judging.
That is judgment.
That's
you
not
encouraging your mind. That's judgment.
Judgment.
So that's judgment.
Yeah,
it's
judgment.
Yes.
No. Because guess what?
Judgment's not, doesn't mean it's
judgment. Judgment is not always there, and it's not always verbal ones. We do it. And we don't even realize it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, for example, what I'm trying to say, it's not about like judgment. What I'm saying is, for example, I know that, okay, brother, I'm going to put £5 on that table.
Yeah.
I've not judged you that you're a thief, or you're not a thief. But I've just come up, brother, I noticed that you paid £5 yesterday. Is it true? I don't think that's a judgment.
It is a judgment.
Okay.
It is, because what you've done is, you've made a decision, I need to approach that person. So you're not doing it just like it told Sister Ruth. It's not to condemn the person, it's to understand, have I misinterpreted the behavior, you see? So
is it now judgment if you didn't call the person?
You hate them, yes, you judge the person.
Yes.
What we do.
A lot of, if you saw the person picking that £5, and you were sure that he didn't pick it.
Yes.
So, and he approached the person and tried to talk to the person to maybe to make sure that to let him know the person did was wrong.
Yes.
I don't think that is
your decision. You might
try to
because
he has evidence.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's not
judgment.
For you to approach it, that means you've made
your
judgment.
You have the evidence.
So I think what we're
trying to correct
because
if you don't have
If you approach him, you have made a decision in your mind, then it's wrong.
Right, so I think what you're mixing too is condemning too. You see what I mean? So it's not to condemn the person. You see, but we all make judgments. It's something we do. It's just something we do. Unconsciously. You go to the supermarket. Oh, I'm not going to walk that out. You made a judgment. Oh, I see somebody in there. You do it all day.
Mm-hmm.
You
stop. So, yes. Sorry, you say it's judgment.
Yeah. Let's go to the Bible. This is the Bible class now. Matthew chapter 18, church discipline. Verse 15, more if a brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, you see? So that's judging. We have a responsibility. Why? Because guess what? It's just like your children. You see your child run into the street, you're going to go over and correct them. Well, hey, come on back over here. If I see you in trouble, you can't talk like that to your boys. Well, no. And so the conversation sometimes has to match the situation. If I see you conducting yourself in a way that's not Christ-like, I'm going to correct you on the spot. If it's a public sin, listen, he says, you can't. What's going on? You can't talk like that. You can't dress like that. You see, we have responsibilities because your soul is at stake. The church's reputation is at stake. We get out here and two Christians are fighting on the sidewalk. Not my place to judge. You better get involved. Yes. Yes, but we have responsibility to judge. We have responsibility to judge. Yeah, because remember we started in the Gospel of Matthew. Say us talk about how can you say to your brother who has a speck in his eye, but you've got a beam in your own eye? What are you doing? That's judging. So we have responsibility.
But,
but you made a judgment.
let us be clear here.
One at a time, please.
Judgment. But the Bible doesn't tell us not to judge. You say, judge not according to the eye, but you judge righteous judgment.
Yes.
God wants us to judge.
We want to see the way God does.
The standard, God has set us a standard. That is why he says righteous judgment. John 17, he says your words is righteous. Yes. So you judge the person through the word of God. Yes. You cannot go beyond that.
I'm not understanding.
For instance, that's why Bible says, even the Matthew chapter 7, you have learned that.
Yes.
He says, judge not.
That
you will be judged. Mm-hmm. But you, the problem is, what you have is, before you make a judgment, you have to judge yourself. That is the principle. Before you judge somebody, you have to judge yourself first.
Yeah.
Before you can. That's why Jesus made an illustration of judgment. Something big on your eye, and you leave that one and go and judge somebody. So judgment, let it be clear that judgment is not a sin.
Yeah.
For reason. God authorized us to judge, but you have to judge righteous judgment. You can make a judgment, but Jesus is condemning hypocritical judgment. Hypocritical judgment is what Jesus is condemning.
Yeah.
And we have a certain judgment, like, I didn't come to church. today. Mm-hmm. You don't know the reason why I didn't come to church.
And you judge,
and you judge me.
Yes.
That one, you stand. No, it's not wrong, but you stand in the tree of God.
Yes.
You are doing the work of God.
Yes.
God wants us not to judge of what you don't know. But if God, somebody is here as a Christian, and I know he's, as you say, £5 is there, and he pick it, and I ask him, he say, oh, I haven't picked it. I have to tell him the correct decision. I have to tell him that, brother, what you have done is wrong. And God is not forgive you if you don't repent. You see, God has given us a standard. He said we have to judge according to what God has given. We have a standard. For instance, everything you do, because you can have a problem with Bradley, and maybe the Paul will say, oh, listen to the Bragaria and listen to me, and he said, George, what you have done is wrong.
Yes.
So apologize to Bragaria. That is, he's making a judgment.
Exactly.
He's making a judgment. Because what kind of judgment? He's standing the word of God to judge.
Yes.
But you can't go beyond the word of God. That is our limit. We have a limit that we have to be Christian very, very careful. And the principle is, don't forget, before you do that, you have to judge yourself.
Yes.
Before you can have the authority to judge yourself.
Yes. And then we have to move on.
Yeah, that's what exactly what I'm trying to say, because you've noticed something, but you're not sure if the brother has done that thing. You just wanted to find out, brother.
But what's your motive to go and do that?
That's no judgment.
Yes, if your motive is that they're doing something bad, then that's your motive, so you're going to tell them it's still a judgment.
Yeah.
Please.
So what, it's not a condemning judgment.
Man
it's
judgment,
not a bad.
The difference between man and judgment.
Just
because mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that.
The difference is the standard, just like Brother George says. The only thing that we have is the word of God.
Yes.
So God's the one that sets the standard. Okay. So he says this is where the bar is, and we're not meeting the bar, because you know the Bible says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is the one that makes the rules.
And then what's that? To condemn someone,
to judge them today. Jesus said again in Matthew 18, whatever I bind in heaven shall be bound in earth, and whatever is loosed in heaven shall be loosed on earth. So God is the one that, remember we talked about a kingdom. You need laws in order to have a kingdom. Yeah? So when the police officer, who is the guardian of the law, they are the ones who will judge to say, you were speeding according to the law.
Yes.
Say, this is the speed limit. Yeah. And here's the evidence. So now, guess what? He's made a judgment to write you a ticket. And now you're going to stand before the ultimate judge in court and give your case. He's going to lay all the evidence based on the law and render a decision. Same thing for us. We have a standard here. This is the Bible. The Bible says, quick illustration, somebody's abusing their spouse. The Bible says to love your wife. Are you loving your wife? Why not? Well, she's getting on my nerves and whatever. Okay. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says be angry. That's the standard, and sin not. The Bible says, the Bible, not what I say. You see? So, this is what you need to do, brother, sister. You need to change. That's up to you, just like we're talking about here. Guess what? It's your heart. God will, I can't know your heart. I can only judge your actions. Yeah? What's on the inside, only God's the one who ultimately bring everything to light.
Yeah.
But while we're here, we have a responsibility to one another. Just like your body makes a judgment. Listen, this foot is hurting.
Yeah,
because the head understands something's wrong. So the whole body gets involved to fix that problem. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So we do that in the natural. they do not have a right to ignore that in the spiritual as well.
Yeah.
If something is hurting, something's out of place, something's broken, the whole body is supposed to get involved. Yeah. And it's about, that's none of your business. It is my business, brother. It's my business to be in your business. Amen. And I got to do it in love. You see that? Now listen, brother. I know it's hard. I know that hurts. I know you don't feel like it, but you got to do it. Now I can walk with you. We can bear one another's burdens, but you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question concerning what we were discussing before this question came.
Yes.
And you said that if we let something out from our mind, we need to replace it with something.
Yes.
What is the thing that we need to replace it with?
Okay. Philippians. That's a good question. What's that passage that says, think on these things? Who knows that verse? I love that. See that? Somebody said that's in your mind. Philippians. So, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, that's a judgment. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or what? Think on these things. So, if it's not any of these things, guess what you got to do? Get rid of it. Is it good? Is it true? Is it lovely? Is it just? Huh? My phone doesn't ring. You know why? Because if you're calling me for anything other than that, I'm going to shut it down. Somebody comes to me and says, Brother Smith, you heard about X, Y, Z, and they have you been to that brother or sister? No. Give me a call when you've done that. Matthew chapter 18. Huh? Yes, somebody help me.
Yeah, I think you have not answered my question.
Yes.
I said you are letting something out.
Yes.
What is it that you need to replace it? I think you are letting the spirit, the evil spirit out.
Yes.
You need to replace it with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. So it's the content of the word of God, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, whatever is noble. So here you have this thought. Because you know, our mind is so sophisticated. You know, if I was an alcoholic for 15 years and I've become a Christian, that doesn't mean I'm not going to struggle with alcoholism for the rest of my life. And so now, when that thought comes, okay, the Bible says to think of these things, I've got to get in this word. I'm going to replace that thought. There's something good. I've got to occupy my time and my mind with something good. Now you, whatever works for you, it could be a hymn, it could be a sermon, it could be a scripture, it could be something on YouTube about the Bible, it could be talking to somebody, reading a book. Think on these things. And so you know what? You know what I have to do? You know what I need for me, Smith? I have to go to the gym. Huh? Burn off all that energy. So while I'm there on that treadmill, I'm thinking about what about in my phone, I got old Christian music. And while I'm saying, Lord, I just felt like giving up, and I feel like giving up on this treadmill, Lord. Think on these things. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to reprogram my mind. Yes. And so sometimes it might be sometimes putting up a passage of scripture up on the wall that you can just read. Something to motivate you. Before I leave the house, before I get in my car, before I go on my job, Lord, before I go in this place with these people, go with me. Walk with me. You see? And when folk, you know the folk that take your. Sometimes you gotta start figuring out another way to go to work. a different way to start a conversation with folks, avoiding people. You know who they are. Huh? So now, I just say, good morning, God bless you. And you say, you want to get rid of some folk quick? Ask them for a Bible study every time you see them. Huh? They will stop bringing their stories. Say, girl, would you like to sit down and study the Bible? And her, she comes again. She's all in that scripture. Think on these things. Reprogram. How is it easy to adopt a bad habit?
But again, what Brother Michael wanted to know was when the evil spirit leaves you, right?
Yes.
And when he goes, as you had speak before, and the house is clean,
yes,
when you come back. He's asking, who should you replace in that? I think the answer is just simple. It is you have to just replace the Lord Jesus in your heart.
Yes.
Just imagine him, right? Because when the Lord takes that place, then the devil will have.
But repentance is an event.
So
it's an event, but there's a process.
Receive the Lord.
So now I became a Christian last week, Tuesday. I received the Lord. Now I've got to go back and live my life. You've got to replace those behaviors and patterns.
So that the Lord will send his help for the Holy Spirit.
But what do you do?
Jesus said, only God is good.
But what do you do?
You have to surrender and obey the word and believe in Christ.
But what are you doing? What's the action? Just like Brother Paul said on this sermon on Sunday, Moses parted the Red Sea, but he had to do something. What are you doing to fill that house up? What are you doing?
When you repent, what do? Will you go back to the same thing?
No. I'm asking you, what do you do?
That is his action, repentance.
Repentance was an event.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
you know what I'm doing now? Now I might have to get an accountability partner. Huh? To say, if you hear me talking like this, or you see me doing this, I'm giving you permission to call me out. Call me up and say, hey, how are you making up with XYZ? Huh? Have you been honest with me today? Been these questions? Do we do that? The Bible says confess your sins one to another. Do we do that? Huh? And so, what's that for? Because God created us for relationship, community. Yeah, you didn't born yourself. Somebody had you bring you in this world. And so as we try ourselves to get through this Christian journey, we need each other. I thank God for our brother Paul. Huh? He'll call me up. Brother Smith, how are you making up? Huh? What's going on with you? And I'll call him up.
Okay.
Yeah.
He cannot correct everything in one go.
No.
If he makes an attempt to correct one thing, Jesus will give his spirit to help him with the next. He will do one by one. If the other person will come and question him, charge him for it, then he's going to be like an obstacle.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is I'm talking about the individual you. So what are you doing? What are you doing to renew yourself?
I will do one thing at a time.
Give me an example.
Sometimes when you repent, you start reading the word of God, you start obeying His word. And then the Holy Spirit starts
Be one more time, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, one of the things they are trying to look at is this. Normally, yeah, you think before you've been living a life of dark. You understand? You've been living a worldly life. Now you've got rid of that. The first thing you need to bring in is the Holy Spirit. Then the next thing, your changes, your repentance, your changes will continue. It's not going to be one devil thing just going to change. No, it's a process. And even all of us that are here today,
We still have one thing or the other that we are struggling with, and we are trying to change every day. So, making the house for Christ to stay or for the Holy Spirit to stay is a continuous innovation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree. Fully agree.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's very complicated because it's going down
and down. I'm probably George was close as I was working.